Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope.
No other sausage is welcome.
And the Bulldog.
Like, I am very familiar with my kielbasas.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Bad time for a coughing fit. Sorry, everyone, most especially Sal and Tyler Dunn, who joins us now via the AT&T hotline. Tyler, what's the latest in your one-man efforts to get the world, the shoppers of the world, to put their carts away?
I'm glad you asked. I figure that's all we're going to talk about here, right? Do our service for the people. It's July 4th, getting some beers at the Tops parking lot there, and lo and behold, what do you have? A 40-something-year-old. I think he was in a moped of some sort. Not sure if it was a full-fledged motorcycle, but clearly just doing a 360 look. Didn't think anybody was looking. Left the cart in the parking lot, even though, you know, he could have just slid it right where it was supposed to go, just a short 12 to 14 step walk away, and figured I'd call him out on it. Just got out of the truck and had a little chat with him and just, you know, reminded him that that's not where the carts go. So he looked a little stunned. I don't think he thought anybody would confront him. So I don't know, in those situations, you just got to think what, you know, what a Gandhi would do, what somebody like that would do in that situation.
How did, I want to know, how did that conversation go? Like, tell me exactly what you said and what he said back and, like, the look on his face.
I'm sorry, sir. I don't think that's where the carts go. Can I help you? And he just kind of was stunned. He just, and just was looking around. I said, I'll get that for you. And just walked it away and... He just kind of laughed and smiled, and then that was that, I guess.
Wow. You know, if I were ever going to have the nerve to do that, I would probably want first to buy a shirt of the store. So at least if I'm going to confront somebody, I'm going to throw on, like, the store clothing.
Make it look like you're an employee?
So it looks like I work there, yes. I mean, I admire this. I just don't think I would have the nerve to do it.
Well, you told me I got to put my money where my mouth is. So, you know, it's one thing to complain on Twitter, but you got to take some action.
Right.
You know, the sad thing is this poor, like, 14 or 15-year-old kid, you know, doing everything he can to make a little money, like, literally walking behind this guy, pushing, like, 20 carts back into the store. It's like, I mean, don't you see that and connect the dots and just be a normal human being here?
You know, and one of these times, the guy's going to be like, who are you to tell me whether to put the cart back? Like, who was this guy, right? You're prepared for that.
I hope so.
You're ready.
I'm ready.
Yeah. I do have a solution here, okay? We haven't talked much about this with you and I, but I do have a solution here. My wife and I mostly shop at Aldi, and you have to pay a quarter to get the cart out, which forces you to, you want your quarter back, so you have to go and put the cart back to get the quarter.
I love it. Yeah, so true. They got to figure it out.
So there you go. That's, you can shop there, and there's never any carts left in front of an Aldi store.
It's just the principle of it, you know? I mean, just put the cart back. I mean, how lazy can you be? You had enough energy to get into the store and shop for all your groceries, you know? You know, but you don't have the energy to take 12 steps. As we talked about, there's a cutoff. I mean,
yep.
You know, we're not going to be confronting 85-year-olds that are, you know, limping around with a cane. You know, there's definitely an understanding that some people, you got to have a little leeway, but for the most part, it's, you know, 42-year-old and the moped guy.
Able-bodied customers that just can't give up those 10 seconds.
Right.
I'm driving into the city this week every morning again to take my kids to camp, and every day I'm noticing somebody just throw their cigarette butt out the window.
Ugh.
And this is my shopping cart thing.
Wow.
Like, I don't know how we got to a point where, like, that is the one thing where littering just does not apply. Like, you just don't care at all. So you're just going to throw it right out, drop it right out the window. I don't have Tyler's courage where I'm going to, like, what, pull up next to the person and say, hey, you dropped something.
I don't even see that many people smoking real cigarettes anymore, to be honest with you. So that's
I got a streak going with people in front of me doing that.
Wow. Hey, what about cashless tolls? You got anything with that? We had a big conversation on cashless tolls today, okay, Tyler?
Oh, awful. Awful.
Awful?
Another way the government's reaching into our pockets to take money from us any way they can.
They make you feel like it's good for you, but really it's just now you're not going to bother them about the tolls anymore because you don't have to stop.
I just got a speed out of nowhere for, I mean, it was only like $10 or $11, but it's like I didn't even know I went through it.
Yes.
One of those tolls out in Chicago last week, so there you go.
All right.
Wait, you just answered the question for me. You're in Chicago. You live in New York. That was the question to start the show. How it works out of state. So that's what happened to you. I appreciate it. You've solved one of our dilemmas already on the show today.
There you go.
Well, you're going to have to pay. I mean, that's what your question was. Will I have to pay?
When it happens, you got it a month later in the mail. I appreciate it.
It's pretty good. I once got a speeding ticket in North Carolina, and my friends convinced me that I didn't have to pay it. And when I went to renew my license, it had been suspended for months.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I don't know what it was for, but from time to time, I've had a questionnaire. It says, like, have you ever had your license suspended? Like, yes. I'll write yes. That's the truth.
Right.
But, I mean, that's why. Because I'm gullible. I say it all the time. You can tell me, you can convince me of anything. Tyler, let's get to football here. It's very important. LeSean McCoy story that opened up yesterday here. Is there anything you would want to add to this? Like, of course, we don't know whether he had anything to do with it. And then from there, what kind of consequences there might be. So what can you say?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you guys have kind of gone over the X's and O's and everything, you know, what we know at this second. I mean, it can break one of two ways right now. I mean, there's no details out there, you know, the police haven't really released anything at all, but, you know, once they do, it's either going to break, you know, one direction where, you know, he doesn't really have any responsibility, he didn't know these people, he didn't arrange the assault, or, you know, they kind of go through the digital footprint, they could find text messages, emails, voicemails, whatever, and make that connection between the assailant and LeSean McCoy, and, you know, if he's connected to this, I mean, it's as bad as everybody, you know, feared or could have expected. I mean, it could be really, really dark, really, really fast here. But, you know, he came out quick with the denial and then not talking to these folks for months or those involved for months. And he was in Florida, wasn't in Atlanta at this house. And, you know, but if there's a motive there, which it looks like there could be, in that he wanted her out of that home months ago, and if she was still there and there's a connection, it's bad. I guess the only thing I could add is that people may not know is if he's charged, I mean, he could be put on that exempt list and he can't practice. He can't play. And in terms of football, which seems trivial to even talk about when you look at a horrible, horrible photo like that, I mean, it's just awful. But football-wise, I mean, it puts the Bills in a bind. If he can't practice, he can't play. Well, he's been investigated. You know, they obviously have to move forward without their best player.
And so I don't really want to ask you what, at least not yet, like what happens if they were to do that. But my attitude about that is a couple things here, Tyler. One is I really don't care. Like, I don't see him or almost any running back as so important to a team's fate. Like, I would really want to have to worry about that. And I think I'm right in thinking that most fans see it differently. And so I've got like an offense here where it doesn't really matter too much to me whether he plays, but at the same time, like, who else is there, right? So they would probably, I don't know, like, are we talking DeMarco Murray here? If they got to training camp or got whatever into August and felt like McCoy was going away, so, you know, do you think they would go for a name like that?
Yeah, I mean, that's really the only name that pops right now, I mean, on the open market. And he had his moments still last year. The Titans just wanted to move forward with Derrick Henry, and it sounds like DeMarco Murray's just kind of been waiting for a situation like this where he could be the lead guy, because there's really not a lot of three-down backs available. I mean, you're talking the Shane Vereens of the world, the Andre Ellingtons. Brandon Oliver, right? You could bring back a Buffalo guy. He looks like he's still out there. But I guess it'd be Chris Ivory. You know, that's why they signed him, and it would be you know, looking ahead to 2019, I mean, let's be realistic. It's LeSean McCoy is the one player that at least gives you a sense that they might be able to win now. I mean, they're kind of rebuilding in all kinds of other spots on this roster, and, you know, we'll be playing Josh Allen at some point. So, you know, if LeSean McCoy, if you decide to move on from him, and aside from the investigation and the legalities of everything, the NFL is going to conduct its own investigation, and the Bills can take their own action. If they learn something that we don't know, and they just want to rid themselves of LeSean McCoy, I mean, they can do that, and they might do that.
I also was explaining earlier, Tyler, that the NFL has this exempt list that they will put a player on if an investigation isn't complete, and they want to say, hey, we're not sure you didn't do something, and we're not sure you did, so we're just going to put you on this exempt list. And I don't know necessarily what the threshold is for that exempt list, to be quite honest with you, but I think it's something to monitor here over the next week or so.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you have to think that there's going to be a police report or some details coming out. It's really strange just how this has all been unraveling. I guess it's, you know, it's 2018, but, I mean, to be started with an Instagram post, and then that post is deleted, but another post pops up, and I deleted it only because my lawyer told me to, but I stand by everything I said, to LeSean McCoy on social media, putting out his statement. There hasn't been a concrete, you know, document that's come out with, here's what's happened. It's just been what the attorneys have said. And, you know, from what we have, from what we can gather, it does not look good for LeSean McCoy. I mean, you can connect one dot to another and see that, yeah, he might have been connected to this somehow. But obviously, until more comes out, you can't really conclude anything.
You know, Tyler, you might be exactly the right person to ask this of. With all the athletes you've met, and you have a great knack for getting into their personal lives and making them feeling, apparently, seemingly, making them feel comfortable in talking to you about some really personal things. You know, at the heart of this story, perhaps, is a relationship. And if you read back on LeSean McCoy, you've got a woman here who's been linked with Michael Vick, and then there's also, in another matter in the past, his brother. I mean, I'm just thinking about, like, the relationship piece here. You've got McCoy having sued her for his stuff, to get her off his property, to get his jewelry back or whatever, also relevant in this case. I'm thinking that you've probably talked to people who have shared experiences, players who've shared experiences about relationships that have turned dangerous as they see them.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, I can't say I've seen something to this extent and that graphic, that public, with the details that have emerged here. I mean, if this is all true, this is about as extreme and wild of a case as you're going to see in the NFL and ever hear. And it's not good. It's not pretty. But yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot of situations where a lot of these players, I mean, they have a lot of money, have a lot of relationships. I mean, how often do you hear players say publicly that they're trying to keep their inner circle small, and as their celebrity rises, as their name recognition grows, you see it so often that players will cut everybody they can out of that circle. And a lot of times it's friends that have been around them their whole lives. A lot of times it's family members. They try to keep it as small as possible. I mean, and some players don't, I guess. But, yeah, I mean, every player, and this is the month where you see these kind of stories and the like pop up, because, you know, players, they're leaving the facility, they're leaving that environment, that very strict, structured day-to-day that the teams have them in. I mean, they wake up at, what, 5, 6 a.m., and they're at the facility, they go home, they eat dinner, they wake up, they do it again. This month and a half is when coaches are really worried about something happening. But yeah, I mean, I can't really relate this to anything else, because
okay,
I don't think we've seen anything close to this in the last, I don't know, 5, 6 years.
Tyler Dunn joining us here in the AT&T hotline. There's a slight update on everything here as we're talking, just so everybody knows. We do know that LeSean has hired Don Samuel to represent him. He is a prominent defense attorney in Atlanta. According to Matthew Fairburn of The Athletic, the firm is preparing to release a statement as soon as this evening. So we might get something from LeSean's side on all of this as soon as this evening. That is the report right now. You are in a unique position, such as myself, to get to know a guy like LeSean McCoy much more than most people who talk for a living or on TV for a living. You know, we're in the locker room every day as reporters. You've been there down at One Bills Drive, as I have. Can you give an insight to our listeners what you think about LeSean McCoy, how he strikes you as a person, and what your thought was when something like this came over?
Yeah, I guess kind of my mind went back to our conversation last training camp. We talked for 20, 25 minutes or so, and those around LeSean McCoy. And one takeaway I had was that everybody close to him just said how he got his life back on track off the field after the whole incident with those off-duty officers in Philadelphia at that nightclub. And, remember at that time, the big conversation was, do the Bills just rid themselves of LeSean McCoy right now? And, boy, everything I heard, whether it was from LeSean McCoy himself, people around him, was how he just rededicated himself off the field and did exactly what I kind of just said and put the right people around him, refocused himself, and it kind of showed on the field that he was a 28, 29, now 30-year-old running back peaking still, and maybe has the best running back in the NFL. So it seemed like he had kind of everything in order and was really embracing the situation, which when the Bills traded for him, they couldn't get in touch with him. He wanted nothing to do with the Bills off the bat. He was in tears. He'd been in the state of Pennsylvania his whole life, and he didn't want to leave. And I think that a lot of that anger and angst evolved into genuine happiness with the situation with the Buffalo Bills. And, you never know what a guy does off the field. You never know these players as people. So hopefully more details come out. And it does definitely behooves LeSean McCoy to put out more than a three-sentence statement. If you had absolutely nothing to do with this, if you're not connected to this situation whatsoever, you should be shouting that from the mountaintop.
Yep. And how about some reference to how bad you feel for her at the same time in the course of that kind of talking? Tyler Dunn from Bleacher Report with us, Sal Capaccio in for Bulldog. I'm Mike Shope. Okay, so we're a couple of weeks away from training camp. Who are a couple of teams, Tyler, as you just think about it off the top of your head, that are especially interesting to you this year? What are you most looking forward to as we set out to cover this season?
Man, definitely a lot of intrigue, and it feels strange to kind of move right into football, but you're right. We got training camps right around the corner. I'd say, spending a little time around the Texans, that's a team that pops because Sean Watson was the best player in football. Before that injury, he was really the MVP. He was on track to win the MVP. So to get him back with the Honey Badger, with J.J. Watt coming back, a lot to like with Houston. So looking forward to spending a little time with Sean Watson at some point. It's going to be interesting, even in the Bills' own division here. So much change. At what point does Josh Allen see the field? At what point does Sam Darnold see the field? Miami just totally hit reset on their locker room. So to keep it in the division, it's New England and everybody else. I know we love to talk about the discourse in New England this offseason and them losing all the players they did, from Amendola, Deion Lewis, Nate Solder, right down Malcolm Butler, who they benched for some reason. But, they're the favorites, and it's not even close, not only in the division, but across the whole AFC.
I think more than usual about New England faltering, but I just can't get myself to actually predicting it. A long time ago, I thought it was right to predict that. Maybe 12 years ago, after they'd won 3 Super Bowls and then not won a couple of times. Okay, well, that's about as long as this usually goes, a dominant run like this. And here it is, more than a decade after that. I know Brady's 40, your list of guys, the Edelman suspension, but I don't know. I'm not going to do it, especially in the AFC East. I'm not going to bet the under on them.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think it's real. And obviously we, hear from Alex Guerrero and hear from Tom Brady and everything he does outside of the facility. Maybe that does create problems with what Bill Belichick wants to do, but I don't know. I think when push comes to shove, Bill Belichick knows he needs Tom Brady. Tom Brady knows he needs Bill Belichick. And the greatest dynasties in all of sports, you're going to butt heads at the top. You're going to have these alphas that are going to clash on how to get things done. So at the end of the day, they're going to show up on Sunday, and as long as Tom Brady's healthy, they're probably going to win. And it's a weak division. It's still a fairly weak conference, and even with the pieces they lost, I'm with you, Mike. I think that New England gets back at the Super Bowl again.
One of the storylines, I think, this year is going to be the Cleveland Browns. With the Baker Mayfield situation coming in and all the talent that they went out and collected, including Tyrod Taylor. And now they're going to be on Hard Knocks as well, which will be interesting because the Bills play a preseason game against them. So we'll get some insight there. Just kind of where do you see Cleveland going? How much of a jump can they make this year, Tyler?
I mean, it could be a big jump. They got all the weapons. Jarvis Landry, Josh Gordon, Corey Coleman, Carlos Hyde, I mean, Nick Chubb, I mean, everybody who saw him playing college, he could step in at any moment. And I just think it all comes down to the player that has dominated the airwaves and the print here in Buffalo, right? I mean, Tyrod Taylor, how long do you stick with him at quarterback? And I get it, Jarvis Landry singing his praises, Hugh Jackson singing his praises, he looks great. But as we know, I mean, there's going to come a point where he has to pull the trigger, stand in the pocket while he's taking a hit, and deliver some of these big plays to all the weapons they have. And I just don't think he's anything more than an 8-8, 9-7 fringe starting quarterback. So if you're Cleveland, do you just kind of let that linger on through the year? Or do you see that magic out of Baker Mayfield and make the switch at some point? Right now, it sounds like they want to stick with Tyrod as long as they can.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how they decide to move on that, because they should be a lot better. And Taylor isn't. He's not exactly a journeyman. He's not McCown, you know. He's not a guy that's clearly there to hold the position until you decide your rookie is ready. So, like, he's more than that. You know, it's funny that, Sal, you brought up the Browns with Tyler, because, like, on Twitter, the three of us,
yeah.
I'm always poking that one,
right,
you know,
yeah,
Bills
sure.
and Browns. It's so interesting that here are the Bills coming off their first playoff season of the century, and the Browns winless. And their win totals are like the same
mm-hmm.
going into next year. They're both six. Like the Browns are 5.5 and the money's on over, and the Bills are 6.5 and the money's on under. So, like, I'm always sort of poking you guys. Like, wouldn't you rather be Cleveland? And the Bills made it. There's a lot, you know, of value in that. But they go into this season expected to be the same as ever, you know, like not a team that's expected to, at least outside, externally, to be able to build on that.
I mean, if the goal is to sneak into the playoffs, you know, I guess Tyrod Taylor can do that for you maybe in the AFC. I mean, if that's what your goal is in Cleveland, if they want to get that monkey off their back a lot like the Bills did, then, I mean, I mm-hmm. guess he can get you there. But, I mean, I don't know, Mike. I just think he's one colossal tease. I mean, he's going to chuck up some bombs to Josh Gordon. You can see it now. I mean, he's going to be throwing yep. those 70-yard bombs to him, and Jarvis Landry might be a blanket underneath. But at the end of the day, he's not going to win you a Super Bowl, and it might be next year, it might be the year after that, but they're going to have to move to somebody else at some point.
I think it'll be this year. That's the first overall pick. But like when you say, if you're trying to sneak in the playoffs, couldn't the Cleveland Browns be thinking that way? Like, wouldn't that be huge for them? Just sneak into the playoffs. How about win five? You know, and like, if you want to get to a point where you're just respectable and then make that jump. But, you know, Mayfield's going. It's the first overall pick. He's going in.
Yeah, I mean, it was a special moment last year for the Bills. I mean everybody kind of remembers where they were when Andy Dalton threw that touchdown. So it does mean something to get in.
Yes, it does.
I mean, here they are right now looking at a rebuild project. So, I mean, the Browns are going to have to face that reality with the guy they drafted first overall.
Tyler, always a pleasure. Keep up the good work out in the parking lots of America.
And, hey, track down those cigarette butt tossers, please.
maybe one of these times I will. I'm just the passive. I'm the typical passive aggressive guy. I'll make a gesture in my car that, you know, means nothing.
Yeah, give him a bird at least or something.
Maybe I'll do that. That's never been my style, but it might be time. Thank you, Tyler.
Anytime,
Tyler Dunn, Bleacher Report. Talk more on the Bills and the Browns. We've got trivia. Sal Capaccio in for Bulldog. I'm Mike Shope. This is WGR.
I wasn't a huge McCoy guy to begin with. I know they're going to feed him. The volume's going to be there just because of where he's going. He's not making it out of the second round. And now he's probably going to drop to late third, sometime in the fourth. I mean, we've seen Goodell go ahead and hand down suspensions without real evidence of any wrongdoing or anybody getting arrested or anything like that. And, you know, I don't think that's going to be the situation. It's possible, though. So I think for that alone that he'll drop a little bit. I mean, if they somehow find out that this is all true, which I think it's going to take them to a lot of dots to connect, then he's basically done with football.
Our guest from yesterday's show, Kevin Payne of RotoWire. It's a clip from our conversation. Kevin lives here in the area.
And I didn't realize that.
By the way, has a bet on Croatia to win the World Cup.
They are looking
good
right
away
now
from the finals.
As far as having them get to the final. I disagree with something you just said in the sports update. You had all the facts, of course, you read, which are all correct. But you did say that Steve Smith is maybe best remembered for his three Stanley Cups. Not for me.
No, he's best remembered for that own goal.
And yeah, I think that's true, right? And I'm not trying to be a negative Nancy on the guy, as people pointed out to me when I said it on Twitter today, but it's true. It's just part of his legacy. He knows that. And he's had a really good NHL career. But every time I think of him, if his name ever got brought up, and I had heard his name over the years as an assistant in the NHL, I would think, oh, that's the guy that shot it off of Grant Fuhr's leg and into his own net in Game 7 of a Smythe Division final.
That is what that was.
I mean, Bill Buckner had a really, really great Major League Baseball career. Unfortunately, he's remembered for the ball going between his legs in Game 6.
I mean, I don't know. I've gone soft. I won't confront the cigarette butt people. And now I won't even say that about in the sports about the Sabres' new assistant coach.
I agree. You don't have to. And I'm not trying to be. I don't want someone from the Sabres going, hey, we hired this guy and the talk host on WGR. It's part of his legacy, and that's okay. But that's how I remember him. And I've heard he's a great assistant coach. Like, things that I've read and seen, he did a really good job in Carolina with their defense. I hope he comes to Buffalo and makes Dahlin spectacular. But that's just how I remember him growing up. Being younger, is that was the guy that happened to.
Because he's not getting introduced at banquets.
That's right.
That way.
Well, that's true, Mike.
That's not what this is.
But those Oilers teams were loaded with such talent. I don't remember Steve Smith being he was a player on them, and I know that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember him being like even a Coffey or Anderson. You know what I mean? Like, those are the guys beyond Gretzky and Curry and Messier that you remember that were so great.
No doubt.
So,
but not everybody is.
No, that's right.
On any team.
That's right.
Not everybody is one of the stars.
So again, I'm not trying to be insensitive to the man, and it's great that he got hired. I just, when I think of his name, when I first saw he got hired, that was the first thing that popped into my head. Him skating with the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, that's fine. It's also not that he had a penchant for doing that.
That's true.
Like, he's not, I assume he's not expected to try to coach the Sabres.
that's true.
You know, in that area.
I will also say, if you go back, after this happened today, I did a little research on that. He handled that with incredible class, and he answered questions about it. He bounced back from it and had a great career, like I said. So it was on his birthday, by the way. He was 23 years old. I didn't realize that. That was his birthday that happened. But one of the positive aspects of how he bounced back in his life and his career after that horrible thing happening in his professional career, and immediately following, how he handled it with the media and the locker room and his teammates and all of that, I think is actually a really positive thing. So, again, I'm not trying to be a downer. I just wanted to note that. It's noted.
Now, it has absolutely been noted. I agree. I agree with that. What was your question for me?
We were at the WGR golf tournament on Monday. We have a silent auction going on. And there's all these jerseys.
I've got something about this. I wonder if this is going to be the same.
Okay, thing. Well, there's a Joe Theismann, a Troy Aikman, there's a Rasmus Dahlin, there's a Jack Eichel 15.
Yep. Old school.
Yeah, there's right. That's 3 days ago. There's a Croatia has won, by the way. They have won. They're in the World Cup final against France, 2-1 over England. There's a signed Hasek picture. There's a signed Sam Reinhart stick, things like that. There's also a signed, authentic, I guess you'd say they all are, or at least licensed, I think authentic, Jason Pominville adult jersey. It was, the starting bid was $60. No one bid on it. There was 5 minutes left. I said, it's a signed Jason Pominville jersey for $60. So I put my name on it and got it.
Mm-hmm. You won it for $60.
I did, and I'm wondering, was that like okay, or yeah, that's a pretty smart investment. I mean, you've collected, you know about these things. I don't know if I'll keep it, give it to Max, give it to a charity myself, you know, away to something else that's raising money. I don't know what I'll even do with it, but I figured it's a signed Jason Pominville jersey, and it's $60, so I'll buy it.
Right. How much is it unsigned? $200?
I don't know. That's a good question. I have no idea about these things.
I mean, not much of that stuff really serves as an investment, you know? Like, not much of it is really an investment. Dahlin could be looked at that way. you know, if it's game worn in his rookie seat, which it isn't in this case, game worn in his rookie season or what he wore when he scored his first goal, you're talking about a lot more money for that kind of piece. And that's the kind of thing where, like, if that guy has a great career, that might appreciate handsomely. A jersey at an auction like that that's not been worn or anything, there are so many. So I wouldn't ever look at that as an investment exactly. It seems like a good price. Like, if you bought that in the store, you probably... Like, that's another way of asking your question or answering your question. Like, it seems like a good price that in a store it might probably cost more than $60. I didn't see that. I like Jason Pominville very much.
I know you do.
But I would say, like, 90% or more of hockey player signatures are so ugly and illegible that I just hate the piece that it's on. Like, I just... The exception are the jerseys that where you can actually read the person's name. You know who it is because of what the jersey is. But
now
it's just like there was a piece there at that auction, like a Sabre jersey signed by the whole team. And if they didn't write their number on it, which is sometimes also illegible, you'd have no idea who anybody was. It's just a line and another line. And like that's almost offensive to me. That's not a signature. The point of the signature on memorabilia is that the person will be able to read your autograph, you know?
Yeah.
And like with hockey players, it's almost always illegible, especially active players. When guys retire, they seem to get better at that for some reason. Like, I don't know, but that's just how it is now. So
they also had a Jack Eichel 15 signed jersey. It was the starting price was $150. No one bid on it.
It went unbid on?
From what I saw, unless someone got it late.
Okay.
It was, and I'm wondering.
How about that?
But would it be more, is it more attractive because it's 15? And it's he signed it and he's never going to wear that number again? Well, you know,
no,
at least we don't think.
No, it's less attractive because of that.
Okay.
But it's not.
Because some would say, that's
just generally.
Collectors,
like,
kind of.
Yeah, it's just, he played in it for 3 years and there are going to be thousands of them out there.
Okay.
So it's. Right now, I think it depends how you're what we're talking about. If you're talking about it as a collector's item, if he has a great career and gets his number retired, it'll be nine probably if he gets his number retired by the Sabres. But okay, like it'll be sort of a novelty, and we'll all know that that's what he wore. We'll all remember that. It's, you know, a conversation piece, conversation starter. But I don't see it ever having like big value. Somebody can make. They can make Eichel 15 jerseys, and
yeah, that's true.
You know, at any time, like if it's not,
I wonder if he'd sign that.
If it's not worn, it's not really likely to be, you know, an investment exactly, unless you have an autograph of someone who dies, or whatever,
well, now like I have to figure out what to do infamous. With this Pominville signed jersey. Like I could keep it, and
you wear it to games.
Could yep.
I mean, for $60,
I don't know. I don't like wearing signed.
It'll cost you more to get it framed. Than it cost you to buy it. So you just wear it, I think. I would just wear it, maybe. Or if, you know, as a gift for someone that would really like
it. Right, like I said.
And they might think you've spent a lot more than that.
That's
it
right.
Might get you big points with that.
I've also thought about, and by
until
the way.
Until we talked about it on the air.
The money does the auction. The money went to the Sabres Alumni Foundation. They raise money for different things. I've actually thought about even some other fundraiser. Maybe I can donate to that, you know, to raise some more money. So
flip it.
Yeah, flip it. But, you know, I wouldn't sell it.
I'm not above that.
I would give it.
That was not my story about that auction.
Okay, what is your story?
A friend of mine wanted to bid on one of the jerseys. I won't say which one. Doesn't matter. He went over. You were in charge of letting people know how much time was left.
Yes, I did.
And my friend went over to make a late bid, and a guy blocked him out.
Oh. That's not good.
Can you believe that? Like,
I can believe it, but I don't like it.
I you can believe it.
Well, I
guess I'm the same. A guy, he said a guy like blocked him out.
Wow. He just like kept moving away. He couldn't get over to the item.
He said that as my friend was trying to reach around him, he like moved to block him. And then you were saying like 2 minutes left, 1 minute left or something like that.
I was announcing
and the guy did not have my friend. Said he did not have the leading bid, but when it was like 30 seconds, he picked up the pen. He had blocked. He had successfully blocked out my friend and whoever else wanted to bid on it. And then picked up the pen and slowly signed his name so that it took 30 seconds.
Man.
Like, what a jerk move.
That's dirty pool.
You know what you do? You know what would you do? You can tell someone else is there that wants to bid on it. And I don't know, like, I don't usually bid on those, but it can probably get pretty stupid. Like, you're going back and forth with someone, you know?
I've had that happen to me.
Maybe what you want is for the auction to just sort of, if in a situation where people are still actively bidding, you sort of keep it going. But I don't know if we wanted not to do that. We wanted to wrap it up. I don't know what, like, protocol is for that.
Well, I'll tell you, I was in a situation like that at an Alex Rice event with the Alex Rice skate park. And they had, it was a blind auction, so a few years ago now, and they had two airline tickets to anywhere in the United, continental United States. And starting,
always a great auction item.
Right. It was like $2 or $2.50. It started at whatever, so I bid that amount. And then it was quite a while, and then with maybe 10 minutes left, someone came in. It was a family. I could notice they were together. Someone came in, they went over me, and they bid. Mm-hmm. I think it was in maybe $25 or $50 increments, whatever it was. And I said, all right, well, I want it. And then I decided in my head, how much is my most I will spend on this? And it was about maybe $100 more than what I was already spending. So I went back up and I put my name back on it. They put their name back on it with about 5 minutes left. And I said, this is my last. I knew it. This is my last. So I wasn't trying to trick anybody or do anything. I just went up, rebid, and said to myself, if they overbid me, that's fine.
A third time?
Yep. So it was me, them. It was me.
Right.
They did not go back and bid. If they would have, they would have got it.
Yeah.
Because I was not going to go over the top.
No, there's nothing.
Nothing wrong with that. But I was watching them. I was eyeing them because I knew they were the only ones. And they were eyeing me. And I could see the internal debate going on. And they decided not to. So I got those airline tickets.
Yeah.
I mean, used them to go see my brother a couple years ago in Oregon.
The host wants the action. Like, you want the station or the Sabres alumni in this case wants there to be as much action as can be, but you also want to, you know, not have it drag on, I guess. But
I wasn't about to block anybody out, I guess, is my point.
I
nobody
just never heard of
out.
Anybody doing that. Like, right. I don't usually go up there and I have before, but not always. So I don't know what protocol is for that, but my friend was really, really annoyed. Here's Rob with us. Hi, Rob.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Fine.
So I wanted to touch base on that. I'm from Erie, and we have the Erie Seawolves, the AA affiliate of the Detroit Tigers. You know, minor league teams do all the different jerseys, and you can bid on the jersey, game-worn jerseys. And I was saying that people do the same thing there. You know, by the fourth inning, you know, bidding stops at the end of the sixth inning. By, like, the fourth inning, everybody's camped around what jersey number they want. And they're just kind of sitting there and can't really get to the sign-in sheet. You know, I won one a couple of years ago, a Star Wars one, and I was camped out from the fifth inning on and pretty much, you know, I don't think it's right because I think people should get a chance, but I knew which one I wanted, and I set my camp up and blocked it out. But
you didn't think it was right, but you justified it because other people were doing it.
Other people were doing it. Yep, absolutely. But so I've seen it. You know, every time they have a jersey auction, that's, you know, third, fourth inning, people start sitting at the table, and you can't get to the shit you want.
Wow.
Thanks for being honest.
This is another case where the people camping out for something, to me, is like, what is wrong with you? You know? Okay.
You know, the one I wanted wasn't even a famous player or big prospect. It was just, I'm a little guy, and it was a jersey that was going to fit me.
Yeah, all right. Cool.
I camped out for Bill's playoff tickets when I was in high school, overnight. Stayed the night at a bank in a parking lot when I was in, like, 10th or 11th grade.
I did, too.
And then I'd stay the night at the stadium for tickets for the 51-3 game. You just said camping out overnight. It's the same thing. You got to get in line. I was there at, like, 10 o'clock at night. Until it opened the next morning, the ticket office.
Is that the same thing?
Of course it is. Joe?
Of course it is?
You said camping out.
I know. Well, it is camping out.
Oh.
But
I wasn't blocking anybody. I had to get in my line. I had to get in line, get my name there, and stay there.
No, to me, like, getting in line for tickets is appropriate. And if you are, you get there to buy tickets, and there's a super long line of people that had been there all night, and you weren't, then, you know, that's your problem. But is that the same thing? You're sure that it is?
Well, what kind of camping out are you talking about?
Well, like this thing with these autographs.
That he just parked himself there so no one could open it. I get him. I get what you're saying.
If I were, I'm not saying this about you personally.
Right.
If I were us, like, running that auction, I'd be like, sir, We want other people to bid on this, and that person should have to understand that.
I thought you meant camping out for something and waiting overnight, like people who do like Black Friday shopping, which I think is dumb.
The parade chairs.
It's stupid.
The parade chairs from last week
are
coming back to
That's
mind.
That's right.
That's what I was thinking
That's
about.
That's what I thought you
Since
meant.
You pressed me. Sal Capaccio in for Bulldog. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
Here's your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Eagles this Saturday, July 14th at KeyBank Center. Minimum value is $50, courtesy of Live Nation. We'll take callers 5 and 6 at 644-9878. General contest rules apply. Tickets are on sale at livenation.com.
Eagles guy, Sal?
Couple songs. I mean, if it comes on the radio, yeah, that's nice, but I don't search them out.
You don't search them out?
No.
You don't put them on.
No, I don't put them on. And honestly, there could be a song playing that I would not realize maybe they even played.
All right. I absolutely do. I'm in an Eagles mood a lot. And they're just, I think I only have room for like a few bands for this. I want to listen to music. And I think of like one of three or four bands. That's all I have room for. I don't sit there. I'd be there. I don't know how long it would take me to think of other ones. And then I'd just be comparing them and I would be a wreck.
I'm the same way, but it's generally not anything before the mid-80s.
They have one of those front row seats in my brain for when I want to listen to music. The Eagles. I can quickly come up with that thought. Not too many others.
What are the other ones?
Radiohead.
Okay.
Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Ray LaMontagne for more of an acoustic, like, evening sort of scene. You know, mood music.
I'd use Sinatra for that.
Sinatra, Tony Bennett. Yeah, like there's only a few open chairs here that are, or chairs that are
for me, the bands available. U2 would be number one. I listen to a lot of U2. I love them. And anytime I'm in the car, I'll try and put it on. I love a lot of their live stuff. I'll go to YouTube, put on one of their concerts, and put it through my Bluetooth so I can listen in the car.
Yeah.
It's great. I love doing that.
I listen to WGR in the car.
What? Van Halen is on the list.
I make special trips just so I can listen to it more.
This will be reminiscent of a conversation we had several months ago. Iron Maiden might be on that list. And Goo Goo Dolls. Listen to that, but you can pretty much go anywhere in Buffalo and get that anyway, so don't have to try and seek it out.
No, I guess you're right about that. Here is Mitchell with us. Hello, Mitchell.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay.
I was at the Turning Stone for a fight recently
at
a silent auction, and these two guys were, they just kept bidding back and forth for some Mike Tyson signed robe and glove, and it got to be like, you know, 1 minute left or whatever, and you could tell they were just going to keep going over the top of each other, and so I was kind of like, oh, I wonder how this is going to end. About 30 seconds left, they turn to each other, go, want to flip a coin for it, flips the coin. The guy, they shook hands, and it was amicable. I thought it was interesting.
Nice.
Wow, I like it.
Because when it's like that, the two people should just work it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of just writing down higher amounts of money all the time. Just like, you know, how high are you? Let's save the time, if not the money, too.
Well, was it just a personal event, like just to buy stuff, or was it to raise money for something?
You know, I'm sure there was some sort of fundraiser. I'm not sure exactly what it was for.
Well, I think that's even better, because if that's the case, you don't want to get too, hey, we're here for the right reasons, the same reasons, trying to raise money. It doesn't really matter. It's going to a good cause. Let's flip a coin. Because if it's a difference, if it's somebody's, they really want it for them, then you might have a different situation.
Right, right. Yeah, I just thought it was interesting. They decided, hey, let's flip the coin, shake hands, and it was good. You don't see that too much anymore.
I like it.
Good job, Mitchell. The right reasons. The Bachelorette has just ruined that. Every time I hear someone say, like, for the right reasons, I think
what happened
of that
there?
Show.
What happened?
Oh, it's every season, Sal. It's,
I stopped watching a long time ago.
Person
I used to
over there is not here for the right reasons.
Yes, you're right.
There's always someone there to say that.
Is that just like, coming up, the most dramatic rose ceremony ever? Like, that is kind of a thing in our house, because I'll say that.
They had one. If Bennett, who is the executive producer of the show, is from here and he listens to our show a lot. This is all with love, Bennett. But they had one the other night where this one contestant was a virgin. And he wasn't sure of how to tell the Bachelorette that. And so he does, and I'm watching this with my wife, as we always do. Sorry to embarrass her, like she might not want everybody to know that she watches The Bachelorette every week, but we do. I tell everybody this anyway. So she says, well, why would the woman mind? What's the big deal? So what? But on the show, I have to ask Bennett this. I wonder if, like, they had the Bachelorette leave the table and just go stand by herself, where you're supposed to think she is, like, contemplating the magnitude of this guy telling her that he was a virgin. And, like, you know, so what? Who cares? Why would that matter at all? Like,
right.
Okay, that's interesting, but what, am I not going to, I'm not going to pick you because of that? Or I am because, like, why would, and they have the guy, like, he's stewing, and the other contestants are all talking about it, and she's just standing there looking out over a lake. Like, there's no way she's actually thinking about this. Like, so what, right? I have to find out if I'm right. We'll probably have her on the show when the season is over, like we did Rachel Lindsay when her season ended.
Okay.
Maybe that's a good question for her.
Now, this is, and when did...
I'm here for the right
Wait a minute, now...
The Buffalo show
the Buffalo
is coming
show is
up,
coming up
this
soon,
week.
Right?
Yeah, I think okay. It'd be this week, yeah.
What night is that?
Monday.
And this coming Monday, okay.
Yeah.
I'll make a note of it.
No, you won't. No, you're not going to make a note of it. What are you going to do?
No, I really am.
No, you're going to make a note of it?
I'm going to put it in my calendar.
To watch it?
Absolutely. No, I'll put it in the calendar so I know to record it if I can't watch it. I want to see.
I guess you will be making a note of it.
I will literally do that so my wife and I know. Like,
okay.
It's a thing in our house. Did you put it in the calendar? Then how would we know?
We've got to get Sal's February Fix League fantasy roster out and scrutinize it. Joe's too, and mine. We'll do a little fantasy talk next hour. Bill's questions, LeSean McCoy, the latest on him. When we return, Sal Capaccio in today, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.